The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Christmas can be a particularly difficult time for people who are in an abusive environment. The charity Women's Aid have seen an increase in the number of calls they receive and have concerns around economic abuse. I'm joined on the line now by Sarah Benson, CEO of Women's Aid. Sarah, good morning.
Good morning.
Can you explain exactly what economic abuse is? Because it takes multiple forms.
It certainly does. People think about domestic violence and traditionally may have thought of physical violence, but actually domestic abuse takes many different forms, usually a pattern of behaviours which can but doesn't always include physical abuse, but it can be emotional, psychological, indeed sexual, and then economic. And what that means is it's about the control and access to money and means and using that as an abusive tool. So, for example, holding control over all of the finances, but also extended to things like, you know, what kind of food is bought in the house, how far perhaps a woman can drive in terms of how much diesel she is allowed to have in her car, when and where the light and the heat can be on. And we have women contacting us who would say, you know, the heat can only be on in the room where her abusive partner is, not in any other room of the house, including the children's bedrooms. So it's used as a weapon, much more so than just having access to funds.
And the kind of people who do this, typically do they have other issues? I mean, an abuser, typically alcohol involved?
No, I mean, what I would say is, again, it's a pattern of behaviour. It's somebody who, in rather than engaging in an equal, mutual, respectful relationship, chooses to use coercive and controlling behaviours in order to get what they want, what they feel they are entitled to. So while alcohol and indeed other substances can be disinhibitors, they usually are only that, a disinhibitor, which may create a more exacerbated or more increased levels of abuse where there is already that kind of coercive controlling behaviour. They're not causal factors.
The question of other people in the family, I mean, is it misogynistic directed at the woman specifically, or does it tend to spread to the children? You know, Santa's coming, maybe Santa might not be as generous as Santa should be.
Yeah, I'd say the majority of those who are subjected to abuse will be women in heterosexual relationships. That's not to say it doesn't happen in other relationships also, and ourselves and other services are available for everyone. But predominantly, it is women who will be targeted. But if there are children and if there is coercive control in the house, they absolutely are going to be exposed to and indeed used as tools as part of that coercive control. Often it is the children being used in order to further hurt or target or control the adult female partner. But when that happens, of course, there is harm, terrible harm done to the children. And so using them as leverage, and particularly at this time of the year, as you say, that economic abuse can be used where post-separation, it will be, you know, refusal to give maintenance in, you know, where women are telling us that they may not even have food on the table, let alone, you know, a festive experience for the children, or weaponizing the children, saying, you know, that they will not do for the children unless she does something that they want her to do.
Something I've come across over the years, the separated father, you know, who's left the house, bestows unbelievable generosity upon the children, which then is in stark contrast with what the mother is able to bestow on the children because of, you know, the deprivation of money that is due her from that separated husband.
Absolutely. That's a really common thing. We're hearing that right now at the moment. Our helpline team are telling us where they haven't paid the maintenance. This may be even court mandated maintenance. It's not coming through, and he will turn up on the day with a present that's exclusively from dad, and it will be, you know, extremely you know, expensive, and then, you know, it will look in stark contrast when the mom can't even put food on the table, and look what kind of a mom she is. So that is something that is actually a really common tactic. It happens again around birthdays, other occasions as well, but it's particularly acute at Christmas time.
Now, do you expect the number of calls to increase because of the inflationary times in which we live, and whether or not money is really scarce in the household? It's perhaps another stick that the offender can use to beat the other person, both metaphorically and perhaps even physically.
Yeah, this comes up in a few different ways. You're quite right. It's not always that money is an issue in the family. It is just that money is being used as a coercive tool. The other thing is, you know, where money is an issue, it's who controls and who makes the decisions then. And we have, you know, money and access to money being used in really degrading ways where women have to negotiate, haggle for even basic items such as sanitary products. So that isn't just about means. That is a way to degrade somebody. And post-separation, I mean, this is, you know, the women we support are ingenious survivors, and very often they are trying to take steps to get away from the abuse. But the consequence of leaving abuse can also be facing poverty. And that's where matters like maintenance and things come into play. Mm. Women more likely to be in part-time work are still holding the burden of care. And that's why initiatives like, you know, paid domestic violence work leave and things like that to help women stay in work, because often coercing them out of work is a really effective tool to make them dependent. These are great tools that employers and our society can keep putting in place to support those who are being subjected to this kind of abuse.
Is Christmas a particularly difficult time? I mean, do you see a spike during the Christmas period or after the Christmas period? Do people attempt to kind of keep the peace over, you know, the peaceful festival?
Yeah, we have a really consistent pattern. This is something we're asked every year, and the helpline team would report the same thing every year. Now, the first thing I will say is our helpline is the National Domestic Violence Helpline. It's 1-800-341-900. We also can directly call connect callers to all of the local services all around the country, you know, the refuges, the other support services. And we will be there every single moment of every day over the Christmas, right through the night. But we don't expect to see a big spike over the Christmas day, you know, Christmas Eve, that kind of period. What we will consistently see and then hear from women is that they are holding it together. You have family coming. They are trying to get through it. They are trying to keep the peace, even though this isn't their fault, what's going on. And usually it's the early weeks of January, usually when the kids go back to school, we will see a spike. We consistently see a spike of about 15-17% between December and January. And that's women who, it's like it's like a breath being let out. They have been holding their breath the whole way through Christmas, and then they need to talk. Sometimes they are, you know, wanting to make decisions. They want to know what their legal options are. But more than anything, they just want to share what they have been holding all over the Christmas period.
Now, your organisation is called Women's Aid, and that suggests that, you know, you come to the aid of women, whether they want to talk or want to take decisions about their future. Is there something else available out there that, you know, could mediate between a warring couple?
Well, mediation is an interesting term. I mean, look, our service is there first and foremost to allow somebody to share what is going on, to help them make sense, to help them kind of be able to see the wood for the trees, because when you're in a coercive, controlling relationship, it is a deliberate tactic to keep you hypervigilant all the time. It's very hard to even think straight when somebody's in that situation. We refer also, for example, I was saying, if other callers come through, we might refer to the LGBT line, or we might refer to our colleagues in the male advice line. But in terms of mediation, where you have such an acute power imbalance, like mediation, which might be as part of separation, where there is domestic abuse and coercive control, that's actually counterindicated, because the coercive control will still play out in the mediation. Yeah. So we have to be very careful. Of course, it can be a really useful tool where perhaps there is more low-level conflict and dispute, but a more equal relationship. And so mediation can be an excellent tool. But where there is abuse, where one person is, you know, coercively controlling the other, we need to be really careful about the psychological and indeed the physical safety of putting somebody through that.
It's a terrible idea, you know, to think that there will be women who literally be walking on eggshells right over the Christmas period. You know, they put up the Christmas dinner. It won't be good enough. And even though they know it's a terrific dinner and, you know, the children will enjoy it, it'll probably taste like sand in the mouth of the person who's made it. Such is her fear. But she knows your man is going to throw it back at her.
Yeah, and this is one of the most cruel things about domestic abuse is that it's women will say that it's the emotional, the psychological tactics that are used to just tear them down constantly, and it is quite deliberate, and it's invariably the thing that she might be most proud of about herself, the thing that she, you know, it could be as you say, she might really pride herself on being a really excellent cook or a particularly good mother, and that will be the thing that will be weaponized. That she'll be told that she's not, and who does she think she is, and. And, you know, so it could be a particular skill. You know, it could be that she thinks she's well read, and she'd be told she's stupid. It is always targeting that in the most cruel way to tear her down. And unfortunately, things like that at Christmas and humiliating somebody. Perhaps there may be guests over, and really using the opportunity to make her feel small. And what I will say is, We receive thousands and thousands of calls every year, our colleagues around the country responding to thousands of women and children. But we know that we are only the tip of the iceberg, and most people will never reach out to a support service. They don't know we're here, or they don't think we're for them. We are, I want to say. But this is where our community, our families, our friends, we do need to watch out for. And if we see that maybe somebody might be struggling or there's something going on, to discreetly and safely and carefully reach out and just say, are you okay? You know, I'm here if you want to talk, because that can be a transformative connection for somebody in need.
And you say you don't advise people on what to do. You try to empower them to make their own decisions with the best information that's available.
Yeah, I mean, these are very complex cases. Domestic abuse is in the context of somebody who at some point they said they loved this person and then go on to kind of create this horrendous coercive back and forth, moving the goalposts emotionally. There's financial ties that bind our children. So we can't tell anybody what to do. What we can do is create an open, confidential space for them to just share what's going on. And then at a certain point, our question might be, well, look, what's your biggest priority right now? What's most concerned to you? And if we can offer information or direct them to the information they need or give them the encouragement and support that it's not their fault, which abuse is not, it's the fault of the perpetrator, but often they're told it's their fault. So that kind of support to empower somebody to make the right decisions for them.
Well, you're going to be operating 24 hours a day, even over the festive period on Christmas Day and right across the Christmas holiday. 1-800-341-900 is the 24-hour national helpline. 1-800-341-900. And Sarah Benson, CEO of Women's Aid, thank you very much for joining us on
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk
program.